Let us rise and praise the Lord. Let us rise and praise the Lord. Give him honor, give him glory, give him praise.
Amen. Amen.
Let us rise and praise the Lord. Let us rise and praise the Lord. Give him honor, give him glory, give him praise. Let us rise and praise the Lord. Let us rise and praise the Lord. Give him honor.
Some trouble. He's married to my niece, my sister's daughter. They live in Portugal. So he called me about 8 in the night to say, look, please, I'm having trouble with your niece, your daughter, whatever. Can you please help me? You know? So I was tired myself and I wasn't happy, but I prayed and I said, look, Lord, these things with relatives, they never end. You know, and I know my niece. She's a headache. But I said, the man is asking. So I prayed about it and said, Lord, please just help me out. I don't want to go and keep going on about these family things that never end. If I have opportunity, I'd like to just keep putting in the work, you know. So I drove, and they live about 30 minutes from me. But when I was on my way to them, I realized actually that in my car, I had no diesel, you know. I don't normally let my car go so low. There was absolutely, the tank was on zero. So I said, no problem, because the man said, if you come, I'll give you fuel. So I had left my money at home. But okay, he spoke and spoke, and I kept telling them about the word. And she's stubborn, my niece. But I thank God for his grace, because somehow we managed to have a breakthrough. But it left me so exhausted and dead, because he really left me listening in spirit, you know? So in the heat of it all, when we're driving home, he didn't feel the money. So when I was on my way, and this was late in the night, all the petrol stations were closed. But I thanked the Lord, because I said, look, I was in the post of duty.
Amen.
And I know the Lord is more than the duty. So there's no way I would run out short, because it's quite far to my house.
Amen.
We did that, I managed to get home.
But
the next day I was explaining to my wife what was happening, and she was saying, because the man has aged so much, those who know him will know. And my wife was saying, hey, that girl, she's going to give that man a heart attack, you know. And we just were praying for them and so forth. But on Friday when I came to service, the whole day I had like a burden. But I didn't know what it was, you know. So I appreciated the message so much, prayed. After that, still some kind of a burden. Yesterday, the burden was so heavy. And I just kept praying, because I didn't know. I thought it's one of my boys, the devil. I prayed about it now. I keep going and praying, and till late in the evening when I went to bed, the burden had left. And I had prayed for, not necessarily only for him, but I just cast a wide net.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Anyone I knew who came in my heart.
Amen.
And this morning, when I woke up, I checked my phone, and I had a message for my niece. And she said, David, please pray for Eddie. That's his name. The guy had a heart attack, you know. But when she later explained to me how it happened for him, because he got the heart attack at home, and it took about 3 hours for him to get to St. James's Hospital to get the operation, he really said it was the grace of God. And I thank God so much, because
yeah,
I honestly believe that he undertook because of that. So I just wanted to thank the Lord for that and for his grace.
I want to talk about the God we serve.
Amen.
He's an answering God.
Amen.
I just want to just say as quick as I can. That Sunday, actually, I went to church. I was supposed to be off, but my boss, he was in the trouble with his car. He asked me to work for a few hours. So from 8, I worked till 12-ish, after 12. And then I fell asleep. I was so tired because the Sunday morning, I wake up early and I was exhausted. So I went to sleep, and around maybe after 1:20 or something like that, and 15 past 12, my wife, she woke me up and she said, "Greg, did you have a good sleep?" And I said, I was sure it's 8 o'clock in the morning or something. And I said, I'm just quite exhausted. It was hard day. I said, I checked the time, it was 2:15. She said, "Yeah, because my water break." And it's like, oh, okay. So obviously I was more awake then. So we went to the hospital, and you see, during that time I was praying. And then I asked you saints to pray as well. And the reason why I'm telling this, because the Donna, she was... the doctor checked on her, and she wasn't like much. She was a lot of pain, but this kind of thing, it wasn't much. It was just super small. So the time when it was time to kind of actually push, she was in such a pain. They give her some things there, and actually just kind of the pushing part was just like so quick. Even I heard the nurses talking between each other. Actually, asked them again, like, "Sorry, what did you say?" She said, "No, I was telling to my friend that from zero to deliverance was just 30 minutes, just less than 30 minutes pushing time." So I just want to really, really, really thank you saints for praying. Yeah,
amen.
later on when I was driving in the car, I was actually praying a prayer, like from my heart, as best I can, to thank the Lord. And actually, I just catch myself on this one, I was praying, and then I prayed all together because I said, "Lord, thank you for quick and smooth deliverance." And when I said those words, that was the prayer I prayed on some time. I said, "Lord, please help my wife to have a quick, nice and smooth deliverance." And when I was thanking him those words, I even forgot about this. Then just struck me, I said, "Lord, thank you, you are answering God."
Amen.
And I want to thank you, saints, and just kind of there's more details. I didn't have a name for the girl because I was asking God for, "Lord, please give me a name for the girl. I want to have a Bible name. I want to have a name that it's like in for Bible." So that's what I was thinking, it's a boy. I didn't have any girl name because my wife's name for the boy was Jalen. So the Jalen in the Bible, I think somebody who was helping rebuilding the wall or building of Jericho. I'm not sure. So I was really not happy about it, but look, let it be. But then I came back from work, we were sitting, and Donna, she was sitting down, and I was keep praying for the good Bible name. And my wife, she said, "Greg, what you think about the name Noah?" And I said, "Wow, listen, that I took this as a little sign that maybe it's a boy." So I was just, "Look, I really like it." So she said, "Of course you do like it." So that's why I didn't have a name for the girl, because I really believe it's a boy. But to be honest, God knew my heart, because it sounds bad, but I was really happier with the girl because I have experience with the girls. I knew they would be good sisters. So God knew my heart with the girl. I believe it would be a boy, but God knew better what I want. So I want to thank you, saints, and God bless you for your prayers.
Important to be better, happy family.
Amen.
Amen. You ask Sunday school just to come.
Ah!
They are very, very thankful to the sisters for all that they have done. They are asking God to reward them 1,000 times. They are thanking the brothers too for all that they have done to make it possible. They are asking also to be remembered. Glad we do that today. God bless you, everyone, this morning. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Let's read verse 11, verse 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Amen. Neither went I to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, said James, the Lord's brother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for thanksgiving on this day for our brother Mike, Sister Tasha.
Amen.
How we lift them up unto you once again. We thank you, Father, to hear of your grace concerning our friend Eddie. Father, thank you, Lord, for that glory. We pray for him. Ask of thee, Lord, that you really minister healing unto him in his body, in his home. Father, that you would help him. Father, we think of the kindness that he showed to us when we first came to this place. Father, I ask of you for your mercy upon us on this day, bringing ourselves before thee, Father, as needy people upon this day. Father, we long that your will be done. Father, there's many things that could be said, many things that could be done. But Father, Lord, we don't want human instrumentality. We don't want the thoughts of man. We don't want human program. But Father, we long that you'd have the preeminence. We long that you express yourself unto our souls through your word. We long that you'd overshadow us, Lord. So Father, wash us in your blood upon this day. Forgive any sin or trespass, any transgression, anything that would come between us and thee. And Father, each and every one of us, Lord, in your divine presence, we just want to bring ourselves into, to give ourselves into thine hands. Father, we just desire, Lord, this union with you upon this day.
Amen.
Have thine own way.
Amen. Yes,
and thine saints, your people, Father, thy Amen. Bride that will gather in like manner to the north and the south and the east and the west.
Amen.
We pray a special blessing upon you upon this day. Father, be with your people, we ask. every need before us, Lord. We're thinking of that young girl with cancer upon us.
We're
thinking of that young boy that Brother Wilma was speaking of. Father, we lift them up in your presence once again. Because thou knowest, Father, their names. Thou knowest their every thought. Father, you see, Lord, every tear that falls. So we want to ask of you, Father, that you would show yourself strong on their behalf. That, Father, you would roar from Zion once again.
Amen.
That, Father, Lord, you would look with angry eyes upon that enemy, Lord. How the enemy would rejoice in such things, Father, in his cruelty, Lord, that he did inflict upon, Father, Lord, the sons and daughters of men. But we thank you, Jesus, that you are manifest to destroy the works of the enemy. So we call you on the scene in every situation upon this day.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Father, as we give ourselves to thee, be glorified this day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me see what saints this day. I just want to continue on what we started a couple of weeks back. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the encounter. Now, we're just speaking about what is a message believer. What is a real starting point for a message believer? You know, so we looked at it on the individual basis that time as to, you know, how when the Lord brings an encounter into your life, ministers something to you, in your situation, you know, that's something personal that only He can do.
Amen.
You know, when the Lord comes to you in that specific way, when He comes to you in the form of the Word, the Logos, the anointed Word, Christ Himself in your image, and He comes to your specific situation, He comes to where you are, with your questions that you've got, with your confusions, your doubts, your struggles that you're going through, maybe in the denominations, maybe caught up in the world and Satan's web out there. But each and every one of us were in a certain situation, like Joshua and Caleb in Egypt. You know, where we knew this and we knew that, but we had no reality, we had no vision, we had no purpose, we didn't really know why we were born. And then there was an encounter. You know, then there was the grace of God, like Paul speaks of here in Galatians chapter 1, where He personally passes your way. And there's a certain spiritual transaction, certain spiritual something that takes place within the veil, on those sacred sands between you and Him. And you might not even be able to enumerate it well in words, to express it in words. And you can try to write a poem like Brother Greg, or you can try to write songs like Brother George. You know, you can try to put it in testimonies like saints do. But you find it can never really do justice to the fullness what took place in that encounter. You know, if you look at the woman at the well, when Jesus spoke to her and met her right where she was, and the Word went right within the veil and discerned her, went right down to where she was with all of the questions about religion and questions about the injustice of the day that she was living in. Yeah, then the Word spoke to her. There wasn't much that Jesus said to her. Jesus just said, go and call your husband. And she said, but I don't have a husband. So that's right, you've had five. The one you're living with now is not your husband. And she said, we know when the Messiah comes, He will tell us such things. Yeah? And all Jesus said to her was, I am He.
Amen.
But in that statement, I am He, it totally transformed her. Because when she ran into the city, she said, come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did.
Amen.
It's not just the Messiah. That a believer understands that.
Amen.
There's far more behind just the word that he said. Or, you know, there's certain something that happened to you at that time. There's a voice behind the sign.
Amen.
There's a voice. There's a something which is so personal and so real and so deep that somebody can be sitting next to you and all that hear is that word, I'm He. And that's, who's this man trying to do? But to you, it will be something that transforms you. It will change your life. It will change your conduct. And when she ran into the city, it was so real that she had this encounter. You could see it by the people in the city. She was an outcast from society. She had to come to the well when the other woman didn't come because she was a woman of ill repute. But when she goes now, having had this encounter, the people of Samaria, the men of Samaria in the world, they could see something's different here. And she said, come and see this man. And instead of her being an outcast now, they listen to her testimony. And they follow her and she brings them to Jesus. No, so there's something really deep and something really personal.
Hallelujah.
That every believer has to have that starting point. Mm. There's got to be that from that time where you can say that my life is divided into before the encounter and after the encounter.
Amen.
If you don't have that inside of your life, you haven't really started yet.
Amen.
And as we saw in the wilderness, it will catch you somewhere in the wilderness. Because it's only the power of that personal encounter which brings about the new birth, the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In your soul, bringing about the new birth. That's the only thing that can equip you and empower you and give you what's required to overcome the gates of the enemy, whatever the enemy throws against you. So, if it's like that on the individual level, the personal level, it's got to be like that on the message to an age as well.
Mm.
You know, what makes a message believer? Mm. What makes a message?
Yeah.
How do we know a message that comes from God?
Mm. Amen.
Obviously, it's going to be the same thing. You find Paul, whenever he was called to account for why he said or did certain things, at each of those crucial junctions in his ministry, he went back to the encounter.
Amen.
The encounter to him was the vindication.
Amen.
The encounter to him was the basis of his commission, the basis of his call, the basis of why he did what he did was because of the encounter. Yeah, and he says it clearly. He says the gospel that I preach, this message that I preach, I didn't receive it of man. This message didn't have a human origin. It didn't start in a Bible school. It didn't start in the heart of some sincere person, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I had an encounter with Christ himself in the form of the pillar of fire, that is where this message began.
Amen.
You know, and Paul, it's surprising when you read, especially you read the book of Galatians, it's so surprising that Paul would have to justify himself before believers. You read it in Galatians, read Corinthians. He has to justify himself. He has to speak of all the things that he's been through. He has to speak of his, you know, all the afflictions that he's gone through, all the things that he's gone through for the gospel. You know, about his labors and all these kind of things. To the Galatians here, straight away in chapter 1, he's having to defend himself. You know, to message believers are calling Paul into question. Oh, friend, I find that's an amazing thing. That's why the prophet says, apart from maybe the first age, all messengers to the ages, they were not really recognized by the people. Paul was recognized in a greater nation. But the vast majority of messengers, when they sent, they were not recognized by the people. And we'll see it as we get in the message today. We'll see that Satan is very, very clued up in what he does. Now, he knows where he needs to wage his warfare. He knows the power of an encounter. He knows the power of a message that comes from an encounter. And that's his greatest enemy.
That's right.
So Satan's going to do everything he can in any age to try to discredit the message or the messenger. He's going to do that because he knows the importance of that encounter. He may not have a full revelation, Satan, but Satan was there on the Damascus Road. And he saw it when Christ came down in the pillar of fire. And he saw the transformation in the life of this man. That very day, up to that very hour of this encounter, was a persecutor, was a hater of the church. This was a man who was so fully in the hands of Satan, Paul. He was causing havoc, it says. He was, literally the word means he was destroying the church. He was casting people into prison. He was mad with rage, with anger. He was fighting against the message of the hour. He was closing churches, arresting ministers, throwing people in prison, using whatever tactics that it took. He was consenting to the death of the saints. And then all of a sudden Satan says, just in an instant, through an encounter, this man who was the greatest enemy of the faith becomes the most zealous proponent of the very thing that he's supposed to be. Ah, friends, that's why you can never, ever, accept this message and be satisfied intellectually.
Amen.
You can't. It doesn't produce the goods. There's got to be this encounter.
Amen.
There's got to be an encounter. The only way you know someone's had the genuine encounter is a tree is known by its fruits.
That's right.
You know it by the fruits that it brings. Somebody said to the prophet, "See, you know, I really felt the spirit and this happened to me." No, do you think that was the Holy Ghost? And brother says, "Well, I'm sure you had an encounter with the spirit, but the only way we'll know what type of spirit it is by the fruit that it bears."
Amen.
Amen.
And that's the truth, friends. Many people have great anointings. Many people have great experiences. But when you watch the fruits that comes out of that, there's contention, there's division, and all these kind of things. And then you look and say, that's not really the encounter that you want to have. Because any encounter that you have, surely if we are the bride, and we have an encounter with the bridegroom, it should make us more like Him.
Amen.
Any encounter that doesn't make us more like Him, there's something wrong with that encounter.
Amen.
It hasn't really achieved the purpose that it was sent for. So, messengers to the angels. Let's start with John the Baptist. They realized themselves the importance, the significance of the encounter. When John was on the Jordan, the heavens were opened, and the pillar of fire came down in the form of a dove. And the voice spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son." John the Baptist knew what that meant.
Amen.
His friend, God doesn't come down for nothing.
That's right. Amen.
When He comes down in that form of the pillar of fire, there's a very specific purpose for that encounter. He's coming down at a certain place at a certain time to achieve a certain purpose.
Amen.
And John, at first, he caught that. He knew the reason why the dove came down and heaven and earth kissed on the Jordan, like the prophet said, and why the voice spoke the way that it did. And John, now he knew his day. He knew what this meant, and he knew who he was. He knew his position in relation to this encounter that took place. Look in John chapter 3, look in verse 26. We'll get to our slides a bit later. John 3, verse 26. Let's read it from there. The people come to John, his disciples, and Jesus is baptizing. Now, many people are flocking to Jesus. And the disciples of John, they're not happy because people are going to Jesus. Friend, you've missed the purpose of the message. If that's what happens to you. If you've missed the purpose. It says, and they came unto John and said, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizer that all men come to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I'm sent before him."
Amen.
He knew, I'm not the Word. I'm here to introduce the Word. That's what he was there for. Verse 29, this is where he explains his ministry. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." So John calls himself the friend of the bridegroom. Now the marriages in those days, oriental marriages, the friend of the bridegroom was such a key person. Before the marriage, the friend of the bridegroom, he would be a groomsman, whatever you want to call him in a modern day language. But he was so intimately acquainted with the bridegroom, but he was also intimately acquainted with the bride. He was an intermediary between the marriage that would go between the bride and the bridegroom, and the bridegroom and the bride. He'd go and say to the bride what was in the heart of the bridegroom, what he was expecting, the preparations. The bride would now show her needs and would tell them now to the friend of the bridegroom, and he would now go and tell that now to the bridegroom himself. And the greatest thing which the friend of the bridegroom was to do is he presented the bride to the bridegroom on the wedding day. That was what he was there to do. And as soon as he did that, he knew his job was done. And that's why the next verse, John says, "He must increase and I must decrease."
Amen.
Because that was the purpose. So John knew your purpose that I've been sent. I'm here to introduce the bride to the world. I'm here to introduce the bride to the bridegroom. That's what my ministry is to do. I'm here to prepare the bride. I'm here to take the message from the bridegroom to the bride. Tell her how to prepare. Tell her what's pleasing. Make sure she's the right one. Then now I take the needs of the bride back to the bridegroom. Make all the arrangements. And then the capstone of my ministry is when I bring them together.
Amen.
When I bring the bridegroom and the bride together.
Amen.
When there's a union.
Amen.
That's my purpose. And John the Baptist now, instead of being discouraged because the people are flocking to Christ, he said that was the purpose that I came for.
Amen.
I came to bring a union.
Amen.
There's an invisible union between the bridegroom and the bride.
Amen.
Now I can rejoice. I've heard the voice of the bridegroom. I've borne witness to the bride, the voice of the bridegroom, what I was supposed to say to her. I've prepared her and I've introduced her to him.
Amen.
Now I can go off the scene. Now my soul can rest in peace because I fulfilled my commission. So John, he really knew what he was there for. He knew when this light came down, he knew. This light coming down, it's a vindication of many things. A vindication of my ministry. It's a vindication of the one that's in the water. But also it's a sign.
Yeah.
That there's going to have to be the bride. The bride needs to appear as well
because
he's come down. Now to the Jews, they say that Moses was the friend of the bridegroom at Mount Sinai. Because the Lord, the bridegroom, sent Moses to Egypt to go and get the bride.
Amen.
To bring a message. So the pillar of fire comes down in the burning bush. And Moses understands what this encounter means. He receives a revelation, a pure message from the burning bush. And he goes down into Egypt with this message. And he knows his task. His task, if the pillar of fire is coming down, there's going to be a people that come from. So the messenger comes down to Egypt. He comes and he preaches that message. Brings them out. They come out of his monastery, yes. But then he's the friend of the bridegroom. He brings them to Mount Sinai. And he now mediates. He introduces them to their husband.
Hallelujah.
Their husband comes down on the mountain. And there's the cloud. And there's the thunder. And all the things that take place. And now Moses, now as the friend of the bridegroom, he brings a union. Now, as was said last week, at that time, they shouldn't really have accepted those terms of marriage. They shouldn't have accepted the law at that time. They should have stayed under grace because God sending them the prophet was grace. God sending them a pure message from a pillar of fire was grace. They didn't need anything else to be introduced to them.
That's right.
They didn't even need to mix it and bring law into the equation. But so John did his job. Now it's the same as Paul. Paul, when he met Christ on the Damascus Road, then he went 3 years into Arabia, and he stayed in the presence of the ball of fire. Them revelations and the presence of that ball of fire, it was so well communicated, so clearly to Paul, that he knew what his purpose was.
Hallelujah.
He knew what he was sent to do. He knew, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm sent to call out a Gentile bride. And then he says it in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. We know the verse, but let's read it again. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. He says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband." So Paul has come representing the bridegroom. He's come, having had this encounter, having received his commission, having received his message now from this encounter. Pure. He comes now to the bride and he presents this. He introduces the husband to them.
Amen.
And then he waits to see their response. Are they going to receive this marriage proposal? Just like Eliezer when he went to Rebecca. And he went and he bore witness and he had the gifts to vindicate his message and he spoke now of his task and his mission. He now waited for the response. Will you go? I'll go. But Paul, now he warns, he says, I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Hallelujah.
No.
Why is Paul saying that? Because, friend, the same reason we're looking in Galatians is Paul received a virgin message.
Amen.
There was nothing of man involved in his message.
Amen.
Because he needed a virgin message to produce a virgin bride. That's what he needed.
Amen.
Now, if you go back in the Old Testament, the high priest could only marry a virgin. Yeah? And Paul knew that. And Christ is our great high priest.
Amen.
He can only marry a virgin. The high priest is never going to marry someone that's touched by man.
Mm.
He's never going to. It's against the law. It's breaking the principles of God's word. So Paul now, he comes from this encounter. He comes with this message. He delivers it to the people with that unction, that anointing, that vindication. The power of the revelation that's in his message. But friends, the devil's not going to leave it like that.
No.
Because Paul now starts to see other influences coming to the Corinthians now. There's other apostles that rise up. They call themselves the super apostles. Yeah? And they come in now, and they now start, just like with the Galatians, men rise up in the midst of the very message of which Paul is the message. People rise up in the midst of the message, and they come now to the bride, who Paul is supposed to present as a chaste virgin. And these others now, they come, they say, it's not sufficient what Paul is preaching.
My mind.
Paul's message isn't enough.
My mind. Yeah.
You need this, or you need that, or you need the other. And to the Galatians, it was the Judaizers, the ones who came saying, you must be circumcised. Yes, you must believe in Jesus. You must believe in his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's fine what Paul preaches there. But the rest of what Paul says is not saying enough. You need to be circumcised. You need to keep the Sabbath day. And they start now to take the pure message that came from the pillar of fire. The message that was sent for a very specific purpose. This message that came not at the hands of man. Man wasn't involved in this message. Because this message was to present a chaste, a pure virgin to Christ.
Hallelujah.
And the devil knows that, so he wages warfare.
Mm.
And he comes in, and the first thing he's going to try to do, he's going to either try to discredit the messenger. The people were saying that. The prophet says it in the message. He says, the people were saying, Paul wasn't one with Jesus. That the apostles walked with Jesus. Look at James, he agrees with circumcision. He walked with Jesus, he slept with Jesus, he fished with Jesus. Yeah? This Paul, he was persecuting the church. He's not qualified. And then they started to attack his message. They say, Paul's message, it doesn't really make much sense. Abraham was told to be circumcised. Without circumcision, you're not the seed of Abraham. The Sabbath day, we can take it all the way back there to Eden. You see, and they start now to bring other things into the message.
Amen.
And the most surprising thing is the Galatians, they start to listen to these people.
My.
And the Corinthians, they start to listen to these people. Friend, what a warning that it is to us in this day.
Amen.
That where's going to be the main focus of spiritual warfare in our age? Isn't going to be outside of our message, friends.
Amen.
It's going to be people that don't want to keep the message pure.
Amen.
No matter what agenda they've got, you're going to have the Corinthians. The apostles come to the Corinthians, and they're super apostles. You know, they said Paul is weak. He's got problems with his eyes. Now Paul's so powerful in his epistles, but in his presence, when you see him, look at Paul. Who is he? You see, they're the super ones. Now they're the ones that, if you, like Brother Alex was saying the other week, that if you compare, yeah, if you put them side by side, you put Jesus, and you put Michael next to Lucifer, one is going to look far more outstanding than the other.
Yes.
My friend, that's not always the genuine one.
And
these people now are coming to the Galatians, and Paul now, he has to go back to his encounter and tell them, you people, you're forgetting one thing. This message I delivered to you didn't originate with man.
Amen.
Amen.
It was the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
There was an encounter. I met him himself. on the Damascus Road, and he commissioned me to do this job. He gave me this message. I went 3 days, 3 years into Arabia. I stayed there under the influence, the power of the pillar of fire. I took the law, and in his presence, through the direct revelation of Jesus Christ, he allowed me to divide law and grace.
Amen. Amen.
But friend, Paul's message was controversial. Because he was telling people you don't need to be circumcised. He was telling people you don't need the temple anymore. Friends, to a Jew. You're telling us we don't need to be saying you are the temple of the Holy
Ghost. Amen.
Circumcision is circumcision of the heart.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Preaching Christ crucified to the people. Our friends, it was a stumbling block to people.
Amen.
But it was sent for a specific purpose to a specific people.
Amen.
That encounter that Paul had, he was now the friend of the bridegroom. He was now going to prepare the bride. He was now going to present the bride as a chaste virgin to Christ. That was his desire.
Amen.
But friends, Satan would wage relentless war in the first age, in every age. Satan will try to come in, because as every time God sows something in his garden, Satan follows behind to sow as well.
Amen.
Satan comes to sow. Because Satan knows better than us many times that it's only the original sin that can bring forth the original sin.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's only the original sin. Satan knows if I can just pervert the sin, that's his great objective right from the beginning. Right from Eden, what did Satan come to do? To pervert the sin.
Amen.
To pervert the bloodline. Yeah? God had appointed a bloodline that was to be kept pure. That's a type of our message, because we have the bleeding word.
Amen.
So you have to keep the bloodline pure in order for it to come to the seed of the woman. You're going to have to keep the bloodline pure.
Amen.
Satan would always wage warfare. That's why you find Sarah, she almost gets taken by the king down there in Egypt. By the Philistine king as well. That's why you find Judah, when he gets weak in faith and he marries a Canaanite woman and raises up sons from the wrong bloodline. God has to allow them to be smitten to die and then bring the right bloodline again through Tamar. In such an unusual way. God has to keep it pure. It has to be the way that God wants it to be. And friend, if it's a natural bloodline like that to the lineage of the Messiah in the Old Testament, how much more the spiritual bloodline?
Amen.
If we want to see the fullness of the promises, if you want to see God do what He's promised to do, there's one thing we're going to have to watch, is to keep it pure.
Amen.
Because only the high priest would only marry a virgin.
Amen.
Anything touched by man, the altar in the Old Testament, it couldn't be made of stones that had been fashioned by men. No.
Amen.
It had to be something original. Amen. You had to take those stones in the original form, build the altar in the original form. If you expected that original fire, that original life to fall upon the sacrifice, nothing to do with man must be
involved. Amen.
And Paul, he realized that because of his encounter. Because of meeting him on the road to Damascus,
hallelujah.
Paul realizes that, my, this message I've received,
amen.
I've received it in such a powerful way. God has bypassed all of the Pharisees, bypassed all of the Sadducees, bypassed all of the religious systems of men, because they can't produce the result that he's looking for. He's had to come down himself in the form of the pillar of fire. He's had to give me this revelation directly himself. Because that's the only thing that can produce the good.
Amen.
It's the only thing that can produce God's desire.
Hallelujah.
Our friends, God allowed it through the dark ages. He allowed Luther to come out with Roman Catholic seed still in his doctrine. Yeah. He allowed Wesley to come, but friends, in the end time, because he's got him in Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
He's got to bypass all of the systems of man.
Amen.
Amen.
So he's got to have a vessel, and there's going to have to be an encounter.
Amen.
An encounter which isn't a seminary encounter, an encounter which isn't anything to do with man's religion. He has to bypass all of those things. And he has to come down himself in the form of a pillar of fire.
Amen.
To a special vessel that is prepared. And that vessel, the prophet Elijah, is going to catch the revelation and understand why that encounter is taking place. And that revelation that comes from that encounter. Yeah. Brother Rabanzadeh was sending those quotes about the sign and the voice of the sign.
Amen.
The prophet himself, just like Paul, he knew the sign. He knew the significance of the sign. But he knew the most important thing isn't the sign. The most important thing is the voice of the sign.
Amen.
What is the sign going to unfold itself down to?
Amen.
You know, so the prophet comes and is commissioned. And the light comes down in 1933. The voice speaks to him. What does it say? As John the Baptist was sent. John the Baptist was the
first of
the brand.
Amen.
As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming.
Amen.
You were sent to forerun the second coming.
Amen.
He then meets the angel in the cave. The angel says, as the prophet Moses was sent.
Yes.
See, each of these is a product of an encounter.
Amen.
God bypassing everything to do with man.
Mm.
Yeah. God coming in the most unusual, unexpected place, the most unexpected time.
Hallelujah.
An unexpected way to reveal himself in his purity to his prophet.
Amen. Yes.
Nothing in the middle. Nothing of man in this revelation.
Amen.
Nothing of man in this voice of the sign that's going to come forth.
Amen.
And the prophet's given two signs like Moses. Go forth with these two signs. So the prophet goes out now and the first two pulls of his ministry, the 1950s, he goes out. What is he doing? He's introducing Christ.
Amen.
Christ is revealing himself, but it's in the realm of the body. He takes by the hand. The realm of the human spirit, he's discerning those kind of things. Yeah, it's in that. And you know, people, they're receiving all these benefits, but that's not the real purpose that they've come to.
Amen.
There's coming the first pull. Now the third pull was the voice of the sign.
Amen.
Now the third pull was the real purpose of the encounter.
Amen.
This was now the purity of the voice of the sign.
Amen.
And so as it unfolds into the third pull, the prophet now wants to take all these people who have been in the healing lines and these big evangelistic campaigns. He wants to now say, come, let's go. Yes, it must be the union now between you and the one that I'm introducing to you. And almost to a person. They don't want the union. They don't want union with the word himself. They want the benefits, they want the gifts, they want the, you know, the healing, they want those things. But when he comes down under the third pull, and there's the real revelation of Jesus Christ, like Paul is saying here. He says, what I, the gospel I preach, it was the, by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If it wasn't of man, it didn't originate from man.
Right.
It originated from an encounter.
Amen.
And from that encounter, that was the birth of this message.
Amen.
The people didn't want it. But it is the Bible.
Right.
The bride will always want that.
Amen.
Because the bride, there's something inside of it that's going to respond to it. But the prophet goes on to say, Brother Alex read us that quote the other week. He says, but I'll read it to you from the Church Ages here. I don't know if I've got it on my slides there. But the prophet, he says, in Laodicean Church Age, he says, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. Maybe you read this first. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area.
Amen.
And then from that messenger, this spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught.
Yes, sir.
But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken.
Yes, sir.
They add here.
Amen.
They take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You think of receiving revelation from the pillar of fire.
Yeah.
You cannot have purer doctrine than that.
Amen.
It may contradict all that man is teaching at that time. It doesn't mean anything.
That's right.
Man will be teaching a Trinity, you receive the unity of the Godhead. Man will be teaching baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You receive baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And every single single one of those doctrines that came forth. Mm. Friend, just as much as Paul in his age, he knew this message didn't come from me.
Mm. Amen.
Every message called like Paul, which is the prophet, and if we can trace it back to Moses, trace it back to John, introducing Christ, take it back to Elijah. Every single one of those messages was the product of an encounter.
Amen.
Not originating from him. And every single one of those messages, Satan realized that.
Mm.
And so what would he do? When the wheat is sown, he sows his tares.
Mm.
He sows it right in the garden of God.
Amen.
Right back to Eden. Where did Satan come and inject his seed in? Right in the very garden of God.
Amen.
It's never going to be far away, friends.
Yes.
The warfare that's going to be waged for your soul and mine.
Amen.
As Christ wants to bring us to the fullness of what He's called us for. Through the power of a pure message. The warfare is going to be in this realm.
Amen.
Amen.
And Paul, he had to encounter that in his day.
Amen.
The prophet says, the angel take away them. Soon the message is no longer pure. And the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice.
Mm.
For the
Amen.
Spirit has but one voice.
Amen.
Which is the voice of God.
Amen.
Friend, there's no such thing as two messages.
Amen. No.
There's only one message.
Amen.
Amen.
God is one and His voice is one.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's now with Paul now when he came to Galatians. Because these apostles, these are actually apostles, were coming to the Galatians, telling them, it's insufficient what Paul is preaching to you.
Amen.
What Paul is preaching isn't going to produce what God wants you to be.
Mm. Amen.
We need to tell you what you need to do.
Amen.
You need to listen to us now. Yeah?
Mm.
It's good. Believe what Paul said. But you need to be circumcised as well. You need to keep the Sabbath day as well. Let's read it in Galatians chapter 1. Paul now, he gives a brief introduction in verse 6. Look what he says to them. He says, I marvel. He says, I'm surprised at you people.
Amen.
I'm shocked. Literally, this means, I can't believe what I'm hearing about you.
Amen.
That's what it means. Paul is saying, I can't believe. You people born of a pure message. You tasted the power of this message.
Amen. Amen.
And you were dead in the Lord. You were dead in your sins and
trespasses. Amen.
Amen.
Through the power of the commission from my encounter.
Amen.
Using the message that came from my encounter.
Amen.
You were totally delivered from those things.
Amen.
But now I'm shocked. What am I hearing about you? That you are so soon removed from Him that called you unto and into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Oh, friends, right within the message of that. This wasn't outside of the message, friends. So Paul comes with his gospel. He comes with his message. But at the same time now, there's going to be alternative gospels going around as well. Anointed people.
Yeah.
Oh, great anointed people.
Yes, sir.
But they fail to recognize one thing. You've got to keep that message pure.
Amen.
The message that comes from the pillar of fire. Don't put man into it.
Amen.
Don't put your own understanding. Don't allow your culture. Don't allow society to come to influence you to think, but I think Brother Bram maybe didn't fully understand. He lived in the 1960s and situations have changed. Friend, you have the prophet was saying, now you have an answer, the same as Paul. This revelation I received didn't come from me.
Amen.
It was the bridegroom who gave me this message.
Amen.
I am the friend of the bridegroom. I am to present you. Then there must be a union between you and him. Between you and that pure message. And that's how the warfare starts to come in now in the ministry of Paul. Oh, friends, and it's a serious warfare that's going on. And Paul starts to realize now, what's happening to these message believers in Galatia? They're listening to other things that are contrary to that which was delivered to them at first.
Yes, sir.
He says, you He calls it another gospel.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the honest truth. There's only one message from God.
Amen. Yes,
anything else isn't from God. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
You may call it the message, but it's not from God if it's not the original. God only has one message in an age.
Amen.
God only has one voice in an age.
Amen.
No matter, you may call yourself whatever you are in the message,
yes,
but if you speak contrary to that,
amen,
it's another message.
That's right.
It's not the end time message, it's another message.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And friend, it's only the original that will produce the right.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Now, where I'm getting this from, you can go and read yourself. I won't get much into it, but spoken word is original sin.
Amen.
It's only the original seed.
Amen.
That can bring forth the original life.
Amen. Yes,
it's only the original seed that can bring forth a word bride.
Amen.
If you can put the slides there, please, sister. I'll just read a couple of quotes from there before we move on to Paul. So we're speaking of the purpose now of this encounter. Now, when the purifier came to the prophet. So the prophet says, now therefore, spoken word, original seed, true life can only come or reproduce itself by its original breeding.
Amen. Amen.
So, if Paul is commissioned by the purifier and receives this revelation of his message from the pillar of fire, the only way that message can go forth is people need to have the same experience.
Amen.
Not to the same measure, not to take the place of that prophet, no. But you have to receive it by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need your encounter with him.
Yes.
You've got to be able to say yourself as well that this revelation, I never received it by man.
Yeah.
No one persuaded me of this. No one convinced me of this. But it was the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I had an encounter. And ever since I had that encounter, I've never been the same. And this revelation never came to me by man. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he's saying that. He says, now study that now. When you're studying the text, study it now. Life, L-I-F-E, can only be reproduced by its original breeding. The way it started at the beginning, then it reproduces itself.
Yes, sir.
So the way the message came in the beginning, it's the only way it's going to keep going on.
Amen.
It didn't come in the instrumentality of man. It didn't come through Bible schools and colleges. You know, the opinions of people. It didn't come like that. It came direct revelation from the pillar of fire.
Amen.
And that's what we need to keep going on.
Amen.
And that's how the prophet says that when the messenger comes with that pure message, from that pure experience, and he delivers it to bring forth a word bride, Satan is not going to leave it like that. He's going to wage warfare, friends, and he is. And he always has been doing it. Look what he says in the next quote. It says, you see, if it doesn't, it's a hybrid. And it runs out. A hybrid, one generation, it can't reproduce itself. The original will keep going from generation to generation to generation, reproducing itself. Every seed producing of its own kind. That's God's original method.
Amen.
And what is the message called? The spoken word is the original seed. Where did Paul get his doctrine from? The spoken word.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Where did the prophet get it from? It was the spoken word.
Amen.
It was revealed to him from the pillar of fire.
Yes, sir.
The prophet says some of them run out in the first generation. It's gone right back then. It'll soon find itself back. It can't bring correct life because it's hybrid.
Amen.
Now the prophet preached what Paul preached. Paul's going to show us the same thing here in Genesis chapter 1. Friend. The moment you hybridize the seed, it's not the seed anymore. You may call it corn. God doesn't call it corn. When you hybridize the message, you call yourself a message church. God doesn't call you a message church.
Amen.
It's another gospel.
Amen.
It's not the original. God only respects the original.
Amen.
The
Amen.
He doesn't respect anything else. No matter how powerful it may be represented across, no matter what manifestations may accompany it, if it's not the original seed, stay away from it, friend.
Amen.
Stay away from it, because no matter what it is, a hybrid seed, look how he speaks about the hybrid. He says, let every seed bring forth of its kind. To mix it will bring forth a super crop.
Wow. Oh,
friends, in the message, there's some super crops.
Yeah.
There's these apostles that rise up all over the world.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And they hybridize. They put their own ideas into it. It produces a super crop.
Yeah.
When you compare that hybrid corn with the original corn, the original corn will look to me like, ah, this is inferior.
Yes, sir.
That super crop, it's shiny and it's big and seems to have a big yield at the time. But the problem is when you try to plant it, to try to get it to bring forth of its own kind, there's no original life in it. Because it's a hybrid. And that's why the bride is a word bride.
Amen.
What she watches is the word.
Amen.
She doesn't watch all the other things. She watches the word.
Amen.
Because the prophet goes on in this message. I'll get on to the next. I mean, you know what he says? He says, but you will say to me, but look at what they do. What a discernment when he's preaching original word and in his spoken word. He says the people will say, but look at all of
it. Look at the works.
Look at the A.A. Allen, what he's producing. And the prophet says, okay, let me explain that to you. He says, whenever you sow the seed, it's called as rain. You water the seed. So no matter what seed you sow, what? There's an anointing that goes with that seed. Sometimes that anointing will be so powerful, it doesn't mean that seed is right. The only way you're going to know that seed is right, give it time to grow. Let's see what it produces.
Amen.
That's the way we'll know. Not by the rain that fell when the seed was being sown. Not by the anointing that was there when that seed was being sown.
Amen.
That's what he says is supposed to be the
rain. Amen.
He says three seeds have gone forth.
Amen.
He says denominational seed, Billy Graham. Pentecostal seed, Oral Roberts. He says, and the word has gone forth. And he said, we had a powerful revival. He says, a powerful anointing. The former rain went forth, the teaching rain. Just because there was rain there when the seed was sown, doesn't mean the seed was right.
Amen.
Oh, friends, that's the deception in our church.
Amen.
That's like we were saying with the brothers the other day, that the greatest revelation just about was anointed ones at the end time. Without that one, you're not going to understand anything in this. It's such a deceiving age. The prophet says, watch out, they have an anointing. So that's when the danger comes in.
That's right.
So he says, you mix it, you bring forth a super crop, as it's proven.
Yes, sir.
But what kind of a crop? A crop of falsehood.
Yes.
Of death.
Yes.
Hybrid your corn, it brings forth a big crop, better crop, better looking. My friend, don't ever judge anything by outward appearances.
Amen.
Shall we look unto that which is not seen?
Amen.
We don't look unto the things that are seen, but you need your soul to look at those things that are seen.
Amen.
Because the warfare is high now, friends. The spiritual warfare is at a high level. Wow. When I was reading that message again this week, spoken original seed, I said, but Lord, the warfare now,
Amen.
It's got another level. The things that you see taking place. The prophet says, plant it back and can't reproduce itself in time. That's what that seed really is. Now look how Paul explains it to the Galatians now, verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So Paul is on the attack now. Do you find there's something coming to contradict his message?
Amen.
This minister is trying to bring something contrary to the original revelation that came forth. And Paul himself, he knew the origin of that revelation. He knew the purpose of that revelation. And he couldn't allow it to stay like that. He says, you're so soon removed. Can I tell you the starting point, friends, that we all need to watch out for this? It always starts out with a change of emphasis.
Amen.
It doesn't start straight away with a change of what's taught, but there's a change of emphasis. You see, when somebody wants to, or thinks they look better, they look better than other people, There comes a change of emphasis. The emphasis changes now that no longer is Malachi 4, yeah? No longer is Revelation 10:1, the mighty messenger. Revelation 10:7, the earthly messenger, yeah? No longer are they the focus, but the emphasis starts to change. Something else starts to become the focus. Yeah, that's what they were doing. These false apostles were coming to Paul's message, believers. They were changing their emphasis. So you don't have to listen to that anymore. If you want to be in the rapture, if you want the third pool, if you want perfection, that's not going to bring you to perfection. You've got to go beyond Paul. You've got to listen to us now. If you don't listen to us, you're not going to be perfected. Friend, when you hear that, that's not true. I tell you, that is absolutely the devil at work. But it starts with a change of emphasis. No, there's this original emphasis we always had, a simple message, believers. Now we love the message, believers. And then you start seeing an emphasis start to change. Or they start saying, if you want to be raptured, you've got to worship the way we worship.
Wow.
Yeah. You can't sing those old songs anymore. You've got to bring, there's got to be a new song in the house of the Lord. You've got to worship like these people, or worship like these people. You've got to believe what this person says, or believe what that person says. That's what Paul was encountering here. And I find it an amazing thing that message believers, like the Galatians, would give ear to that.
Yeah.
It shows how susceptible that we are. The Corinthians gave ear to these super apostles when they came and said, Paul is weak. And Paul has to spend chapters, yeah? Chapters on his vindication. Vindicating himself to message believers again. To say, what's happened to you people?
Amen.
There was a time when you believed my pure message.
Amen.
But something's come and has changed you. There's a different emphasis now in your the way that you do your things. People can take a great truth and you emphasize too far on it and it's not truth anymore. Because friend, if the messenger didn't emphasize it, we shouldn't emphasize it either.
Amen.
If the prophet didn't emphasize something in this end, should we emphasize it?
No.
No. Surely if he was the one that received exactly what is required to bring forth the word bride directly from the pillar of fire, do you think the pillar of fire is going to forget the important things? That's why you'll find the prophet emphasizing certain things over and over again. And certain things he doesn't really emphasize.
Amen.
But if we're going to take those fringe things and emphasize on them, yeah? And focus on those things to show we're better than them, we're different than them, we're the bride because we have these things, they don't have these things. Is that the way that it's supposed to be? Paul will come down and say, my friend, that's another gospel. That's not where I emphasize things. That's not the emphasis I received from the pillar of fire. You're emphasizing things that he didn't emphasize.
Amen.
And that's where it starts. It starts with this change of emphasis. And then he continues on and he says in verse 7, it says, which is not another.
Yeah.
Mm. No, he's actually saying that. He said, anything that's not this message actually isn't the message.
Amen. Mm.
As simple as that.
Amen.
Paul didn't play in Galatians chapter 1. You know why? Because he saw what was at stake.
Mm. Amen.
He realized these people are being bewitched. Mm. That's the word that he calls it later. He says, you're being bewitched.
Mm. Mm.
You're going to be taken from the very purpose you were called for.
Amen.
If you continue to listen to this.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, they come saying, this is, you've been given another gospel. He says, it's not another.
Mm.
He says, there's only one.
Amen.
There's only one regiment.
Amen.
And let's never forget that, friends.
Mm.
All these different blends of the message and versions of the message. Just because we are filled with brotherly love, we call it the message. But let's be honest, what does the Bible call it?
Mm.
It says it's not the message.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
It's not the message. When you start hybridizing the message, it's not the message anymore.
Amen.
When the serpent put his seed into Eve and Cain was born, was that a man child? You couldn't call him a man. He was a hybrid.
Mm.
You couldn't. Can you see? He was a different species.
Amen. That's right.
He was something right in the garden of God. But he wasn't the original.
Amen.
And that's why God couldn't respect him.
Amen.
because he wasn't here too. Right there in the garden of God. But the most amazing thing, this other gospel in the days of Paul, is being preached by apostles in the message to message believers. Who Paul had preached and they followed Paul and believed his message. And now they've been taken astray by something that's not the original. Oh, friend, when I read that, I so much got a warning inside of my soul. I said, Jesus, you help my heart. You help me. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart. For out of it proceeds the issues of life. Be very careful what you listen to. Be very careful to what you accept. Because it's a deceiving day. It's really, really, really is a serious principle that he was talking about. So it's a hybridizing. Now, if you take the gospel itself, the simple gospel, it's only the original gospel that can save someone's soul. If you hybridize the gospel, there can be no salvation to someone. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't bring salvation to people. They call themselves the church. When the prophet called it a church, what did the angel say to him? Don't call them churches. Amen. Call them lodges.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
And he comes and he preaches blasphemous names.
Amen.
Yeah, so blasphemous. I know I'm not being very ecumenical this morning, but
preach it, Brian.
Amen.
It's the truth of the word, and we need this armor in this day. Because the enemy is cunning. He's, he's an anointed cherub. He comes and he sows his tears right in the garden of God.
Amen.
And if you haven't had an encounter in your own way with the same one that the prophet had the encounter with, you'll be taken aside yourself. But the genuine, if you've had an encounter, because when the encounter takes place, the pillar of fire comes down. It opens a fountain to the bride. And you can now go and drink from that pure fountain yourself. And when you drink from that pure fountain, and then you go somewhere and somebody's contaminated the waters, and you taste it, you'll say, this isn't the pure water.
That's right.
This isn't the original anymore. But imagine if you don't have that discernment inside your soul, you'll be swept aside.
Amen.
Our friends, some of the things are real blasphemies. I'll mention something because it's necessary. You find people sending around now from South Africa that banner that says Jehovah Roscoe. Have you seen that? People are saying the new name of God is Brother Roscoe's name, Jehovah Roscoe. That is blasphemy, friends. That is absolutely the perversion of the devil. And we've got to be so careful, because when you listen sometimes to people presenting that error, there'll be such an anointing that's there.
Amen.
There'll be such a power, such a quickening in that false, evil doctrine that if inside of your soul you're not anchored, just remember when the devil came down to, who was it, St. Martin, and he had his crown, and he was came like Jesus, and he says, I am your Lord, bow down and worship me. And he looked at me, something didn't sit right.
Amen.
Get behind me, Satan, because the essential crowning is always something contrary to the word. Watch out for these things. Don't give ear to some of these things that go around. There's another seed that people desire to sow. Don't even get into it. And Paul goes on to say that it's not another. You know that word when they say that's another gospel? You know what it actually means? That word actually means it's an opposition gospel.
Right. Amen.
What's the proof? These people are fighting against Paul. Their message they were bringing, they were still preaching about Jesus. They were born, Jesus died, Jesus was crucified. They were taking the fundamentals of the message of Paul, adding other things, and it became an opposition message. And the people that have, you know how you know people that have got an opposition gospel? Because they've been in opposition with other people in the bride all the time. You find those people that always be fighting against other message groups. That always be causing a confusion here and a confusion there. And we'll call it the message, but Paul says it's an opposition gospel. He says this is not the original sin. It can't bring forth the original. Don't forget that outwardly, the super crowd, it has such a great appearance. It looks like just the thing. It looks like something so superior to what you've already received. You know, that just natural core of him doesn't look so great. But my friend, the nutrition that's inside of this food that you need.
Amen.
What he is putting inside of him. It's like a super crop. It can't bring forth anything. The prophet says the only thing it can bring forth is death and falsehood. So we need to watch that. He says in verse 7, he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Know that word trouble, what it means. It means to unsettle someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find that you're worshipping so well, everything's going well inside of your life. Then somebody comes in with something else, which they say is the message, and it unsettles you.
Mm.
And you're not sure anymore. Any feeling inside of yourself, they'll come and say this and that. And all of a sudden, like the Galatians, they were troubled now. There was like something going on inside of their hearts, which wasn't there before. Before they had a focus, before they had a vision, before they had a purpose. But now something's coming different than that. Another important principle of the word, friends. Don't ever try to change the word.
Amen.
Rather let the word change you.
Amen.
Because that's what the word is sent to do. The word is sent with the power of transformation.
Amen.
To transform us. That's the whole purpose that the message is sent forth for.
Amen.
Is to bring this power of transformation. Now the power of transformation is only in the original seed. You can't find it in anything else than the original seed. And he says they're coming to pervert the gospel. Because they're coming to distort it. He says they come in to transform this message I gave you into something that it wasn't. And it literally means they come in to give it another nature. A different nature. Our friend, that's the way that I always judge this. If you want to know whether something's false doctrine, look at the nature of the believers that produce it.
Amen.
When you find people are arrogant, when you find people are contentious, when you find people that are proud, that's not the original seed.
Amen.
There's another something that's been introduced there.
Amen.
Because Jesus said that. He said, if you want to know what manner of tree something is, if it's a good tree or an evil tree, you shall know it by its fruits.
That's Amen.
Have a look at the fruits that it bears. And Paul started to see other fruits started to come now. I said, but these weren't the original fruits that you had in the beginning when I was with you. When I preached this message in its purity and you received it in its purity, there was another nature starting to come in. How do you know that Cain wasn't from God? By his nature.
That's right.
He can tell us that he's a perverted seed.
That's right.
Coming straight, if right from Adam, we have the Son of God, Adam.
Hallelujah.
And Adam has the divine nature at first. There's the original nature, the original life that's there. Then straight away we find right in the midst of that garden, there comes something rise up, looking outwardly like Abel, looking outwardly like the rest. But the way you know there's another seed is by the nature that it
comes. Amen.
And let's be honest, friends, when people can't even call you brother or sister anymore.
Wow, wow. Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Is that not true? That's another nature that's coming. It doesn't matter people who left us. We still call them brother and sister. We still pray for them. We don't have anything like that of contention, but you'll find other people receive something and they say they've received something so powerful. But the way you know it is by its nature.
Amen.
You see, there's a perversion comes in. Why? Another seed's come in, like to Eve. Another life has come in. It's not the original life anymore. Therefore, it's not going to manifest the original nature anymore. The original character that God put there anymore. Friend, when I look at the prophet had a character.
Amen.
He had a certain nature. And anybody who feeds on the message, you want to display that kind of nature. That was a real reflection of Christ, the original.
Amen.
Was reflected through the life and the ministry of this man.
Amen.
But the moment you hybridize that seed, and you have another seed that's introduced, you start seeing another nature start coming in. You start seeing other character. Like I said, another emphasis comes in on their preaching. Another emphasis comes in on their worship. Now instead of Christ being the focus, they become the focus. Then minister becomes the focus. Everyone must listen to him. Everybody must pay attention to us. If you're not streaming his services, you're not in the message. You're not going to be perfected. It shouldn't be like that. That's another nature that's coming. There's another characteristic that the enemy is bringing in. And friend, this is the warfare that Paul was waging against. So what does he say, Paul? To really hit the point home, verse 8. He says, though we, or an angel from
heaven, hallelujah,
amen,
preach any other gospel unto you,
amen,
then that which we have preached unto you,
amen,
let it be accursed.
Amen. Amen.
That's strong.
Amen.
Paul said, even if I come to you with something different, he said, because that which I received is pure.
Amen.
That which I received is complete. He knew it because of the power of that encounter.
Amen.
So he said, even if I come to you, don't you accept what I say.
Yeah.
If it's contrary to that original,
amen,
that came forth from the pillar of fire.
Amen.
And then people will say, but now Paul maybe was a bit of a hot-blooded guy. Maybe it was Paul just saying it in temper. So he says, okay, let me show you that it wasn't just my temper. He says it again in the next verse.
Amen.
He said, and as we said before, so say I now again.
Amen.
Just to make it clear, to say, look, even if it's an angel, an anointed angel from heaven, even if it's me coming to you down the way, with something different than the original that's been delivered from the pillar of fire, from this encounter, don't accept it.
Amen.
As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be cut off. Ooh, friends. And stuff. But that was the only way that Paul knew to get them back on track. Now what is he trying to do here? He's trying to show them the seriousness of the situation.
Amen.
They're not realizing how serious it is.
Amen.
They say, that's okay. You know, they're saying a few things different than what Paul said. But Paul realized it's only when you keep it pure.
Amen.
It cannot bring forth of its own kind if you don't keep it pure. The moment you hybridize it, it's not going to bring forth what it was sent to bring forth.
Amen.
And that's why he knows that he's got to wage warfare against these things. He knows there's a lot at stake in this. And then if you get onto it and you read it for yourself, he then starts getting into his own testimony of his encounter. He starts now showing his vindication. He starts speaking of what happened on the Damascus Road. He starts speaking of where he got the message from. He starts speaking about, I was in the law. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was zealous for these things. Then I met the pillar of fire. He totally delivered me from that. Just now people are trying to take you back into those same things that the pillar of fire delivered me from. Because he realizes how important that it is.
Amen.
Look what the prophet says. He says, now, that's why each generation has its reward.
Amen.
God raises him up a man, sets him with his word, and starts him out with a message for that age. And as soon as that man is taken off the scene, somebody else catches it and hybrids it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, amen.
The prophet really warned us.
Amen.
These things time and time again. But because we love the brethren, that because we don't want to think evil of anybody, sometimes we stretch too far. I've learned that myself now. Sometimes we stretch too far. The most important thing is the seed. We've got to keep it pure. God went to great lengths throughout the Old Testament to keep that bloodline pure.
Amen.
When Abraham was about to make the mistake, God himself came down and spoke to Pharaoh.
Amen.
And says, you are a dead man if you touch her. God doesn't want any other seed in his bride. No.
Amen.
You know what he has to do? He'll move heaven, like I said, with Tamar.
Amen.
Imagine your daughter-in-law playing the harlot. And God puts her in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Why? God had to protect the seed line. Because Judah had children from a Canaanite.
Whoa.
Their nature.
Hey.
Their nature wasn't the original nature.
Amen.
When, don't know which one it was, Onan or Ur, which one it was told, but you need to go in. Yeah? Unto your brother's wife to raise up sin. He refuses to do it.
Mm.
Where does he get that nature from?
Mm.
It's not the nature. Mm.
Whereas
you take Ruth,
hallelujah,
of the bride, mm, she could have found an easy solution. She could have married any of those young people. But there was a burden and a desire inside of her. She wanted to raise up the name of her husband. So she was willing to pay the price. She was willing to glean in the fields of blood. She was waiting because she had a redemptive purpose.
Amen.
The most important thing to us was to raise up the name of her husband once again.
Amen.
You can tell that's the original character, the original life being displayed.
Amen.
Whereas when Judah marries now, has these two sons, they're renegade sons. The Lord has to smite them both dead.
Mm.
Cain, look at the nature. Like I'm saying, a renegade. Mm. The promise is nowhere else in Scripture do we even find Lucifer, the devil, standing up to God the way the Cain stood up to God.
Amen.
Hey,
amen.
God comes down and he says, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? You can't with your maker like that. And Ishmael. Yeah? When Abraham decided, it's okay, let's put the seed in another vessel, let us on a benchmark, and then comes Ishmael. He's a wild man up to today. Friends, blowing up mosques, blowing up kindergartens. And the whole world is in trouble because, and the Lord said, you're a real wild man.
Mm.
It's like wild wheat. It's like those wild things that you see in King's son. You all struggle to get your real wheat to grow. But that wild wheat, you can't stop it from growing.
Amen.
It grows everywhere that you wouldn't really want it to grow.
Amen.
That's how it is with the false friends. Mm. And that's how Paul had to defend himself.
Mm.
Had to defend his message, had to contend for the original faith that was given unto him.
Amen.
He had to say, be careful, you people, you don't know what's at stake. Mm. If you're going to hybridize the message again, you're not going to be a chaste virgin.
Mm.
You're going to disqualify yourself from the very purpose of the message was sent to you.
Mm.
He cries out against them. That's what he does. That's why the prophet says, and God, he says now, and he says, my mission that I believe God has called me for.
Amen.
He says, I have to say some personal things today because that's what I told you I do. My mission, I believe, to the earth is what is to forerun the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Ah, friend. He knew that. He knew his encounter was with the Logos, the Word Himself. He knew this doctrine, this teaching, this message is for me. I'm introducing the bride to the husband.
Amen.
I'm preparing her so she'll be a chaste virgin. I'm bringing it now that there's this union that's taking place. And at the same time, Satan's going to be busy as well. He's going to be trying to pull people on this and pull people. And he has a super crop and he has a super this and he has a super that. But friends, let's just be faithful. Believe his word.
Amen.
Stay with the message that
you
let's just be humble. Let's just keep sowing the original seed into our experience. Because every seed will bring forth of its own time. These super crops grow a lot quicker than the original crop. Some of these hybrid crops, they grow so much quicker. And you'll find that original one out of the strength a little bit. You're looking at wondering, but is this ever going to bring forth the real fruit? Let's give the time, friends.
Amen.
If that's a God-ordained seed, it's going to bring forth the time.
Amen.
It will. Let's finish off with this here. Now in the same church age, the prophet says, who then will have the power of infallibility? We know this book. Which is to be restored in this last age. Paul had the power of infallibility.
Amen.
The gospel he received was direct from him that is infallible. From the word himself. And at the end now we have to have the restoration of infallibility. So Paul received this infallible message from the pillar of fire. No instrumentality of man. We're going to have the return of the pillar of fire.
Amen.
We're going to have a messenger.
Amen.
Yeah. On the scene. To have an encounter, to receive a message. And that message, because of how it's come,
is
infallible. Amen.
For this last age, is going to go back to manifesting the pure word bride. That means we will have the word once again as it was perfectly given.
Amen.
So the word to Paul was perfectly given. How else can God do it himself?
Amen.
Word. So in the last days we have the word again, the same logos coming up.
Amen.
The message again is perfectly given. Now the prophet's going to use broken English to explain it. He's going to miss his terms and speak things that sometimes you're going to have to say, but hey, what does that sentence really mean? My friend, the way that it was given, it's perfectly given. It's like the way that the Lord spoke to Moses. He spoke mouth to ear. That was the
Amen.
That means we have to have the word once again that was perfectly given and perfectly understood.
Amen.
So Paul, he has this experience. Then he gets himself down to Arabia for 3 years in the backside of the desert. And he stays in the presence of the pillar of fire. And now the message that has been given, he comes with a perfect understanding. And that's why the prophet says God has to take the prophet and send him to the backside of the desert once again. He has to have that encounter on Sunset Mountain once again. Here comes the king's sword. Yeah. And then he has a perfect understanding. Friend, the prophet knows what this message, knew what this message came for. We only, it's been unveiled to us gradually what this message, but he understood what this message was all about.
Amen.
And that's why he warned the church. He spoke to the people. Be careful, keep it pure. Smyrnian church. Sorry, I've got one quote I'll read it. It's not going to put it on there. This is what he says. You know this quote again? From trying to do God a service without being his work. He reads Deuteronomy 4. We know it about Moses. And Moses was telling the people, you shall not add to the word that I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. The prophet says, don't add a thing to it. Don't take one thing away from it. Stay, just say what it says. Why would Moses say that? Because he knew this was infallibility that I received.
Amen.
He knew the source and the origin of that which he had delivered to the people. So Moses would come and say, my friends, when I go off the scene, be careful. Because the devil's not going to leave it like this. Just say what it says. The prophet says, this was Moses speaking to Israel. After he had been vindicated by God, by a pillar of fire. And he knew he was proven to be God's servant to lead them out. And before they went into the land, before they entered, Moses said, now, the words I've spoken to you, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. If you add one thing to it, or take one thing from it, you'll not stay in the land the Lord gives you.
Amen.
So say I in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't you add one thing. Don't put your own ideas to it. You just say what is said in those texts.
Amen.
Why does he say that? He knows the infallibility of the revelation that was given to him. My friends, God was very wise. He allowed an uneducated man to come. A man can receive an infallible revelation, but now he has to come and try to break it down himself to the people. He's going to use his grammar. He's going to use his way of explaining things. He's going to use his examples of things. And that's going to stumble a lot of people. But to the bride, friends, there's a voice behind that voice.
Amen.
And it's an infallible voice. Don't add to it. You just say what it says. You do exactly what the Lord God has commanded you to do. Don't add to it.
Amen.
Friend, he continues on to say, because we're nearing the entering of the land. He says, Moses knew that they were about to enter into the fullness of the promises. And Moses knew the only thing that the people need to do is just keep it pure. Because every seed will reproduce itself. Every seed will bring forth of its own. And they were his seed, they received his seed, and now it is time for them to come. Let's dance it.
Amen.
That is why there's a purpose of the encounter. And friend, that encounter always brings a warfare. And the warfare comes closer and closer home. So I'd say the best thing we need to do is stay very, very humble before God. Let's stay in His presence. Let's stay before Him. Let's keep it the way that it should be kept.
The original word is what I believe, the Son of God.
Something's coming and it's hindering your zeal. He said, watch out. That's another life for you to take. If you think of the ritual that you had when you first met Christ, when you first had an encounter with His grace and His mercy, and everything started to change and things started to become clear, you started to understand your purpose. That you weren't just born to die, but that you were born for a divine purpose. And then you started to walk in your calling. You started to walk in your commission. But something's come in. Now, yes, Paul says in Galatians, you did run well. But someone has hindered you. Another influence, another life, another something's come in that wasn't there in the beginning. Oh, my friend, if I were you, I'd recognize that it's a spiritual warfare.
Amen.
That Satan, he doesn't respect even the garden of God. He'll try to put something inside of your experience if he can. But the best thing that we could do today is to come and lay our swords upon the altar.
Amen.
And say, Father, purge me, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Purge me from leaven. Purge me from the leaven of men. Purge me from the leaven of my own understanding. Purge me from the leaven of being led by my own feelings and so forth, Lord. Father, come and renew that encounter inside of my soul. Restore my vision. Restore my purpose. Father, you are the one who gave me the commission. You are the one who met me on the Damascus Road. Father, I wasn't looking for you. You were looking for me. You apprehended me, Lord, for a divine purpose. And Father, I want to finish the course.
Amen.
I want to say like Paul, I finished the course. I fought the good fight. Henceforth, there's laying waiting for me a crown of righteousness. Lord, deliver me from the evil one.
Amen.
Father, lead and guide me back to the purity of the fountain that I've drunk from that gave me the vision and the purpose. Let me separate myself from anything else, Lord. No matter what disguise it may come in, Lord, let me discern and see that something's trying to bring another nature. Something's trying to bring another influence. Let's not accept those things. Let's come before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, renew me once again, Lord. Create me a clean heart, O Lord. Father, a pure heart. That's what I long for. A heart that longs after. Let's come to a time of prayer before we pray. Oh, Father. Friday, saints, we have our consecration day. Let's come humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's come for prayer meeting Friday evening. On Saturday, we've got outreach in Carlo. So let's pray about that, please, saints. Let's bring it up before the Lord. May His will be done as we go out with the original seed, with the original life. May He lead us in the right direction.
I see a vision breaking. Favor of his people, you'll have the favor of the one that's called you to that course. So let's sing that song. Let's sing it and understand it. Just say, Lord, I'm choosing. If I've chosen the easy way, I lay it aside today, I take up my cross. I'm back. Lord, I'm back.
Amen.
That you are not with me.
Jesus, please, in a word of prayer. And we request before the Lord, if you want to raise your hand. This one who dedicates us to do this car afterwards as well, so let's meet our car after we finish the prayer.
Heavenly Father, just at the end of this service, just thinking about your word was preached, O Lord. Even we heard that many times before, that blessed rain comes, O Lord. We can see struggling up there, clouds mixing, lightning, different things. O Lord, thinking about our life, many times word of God comes straight, and it's so clear, and we have so much opposition here and there, struggling with our body, O Lord. Many thoughts coming, crisscross, O Lord, thinking what to do, but Lord, you just want if we can submit. If we will be willing to submit, just to go all the way through. Like song says, because you have chosen hardest way. Oh Lord, help us today willingly to choose hardest way, oh Lord. Because end, we have to look at the end, oh Lord. You prepared blessed home for your children. Oh Lord, you prepared many things, oh Lord. We are so thankful.
Amen.
To ask, oh Lord, help even our pastor, give him strength, that he can go forward, oh Lord, that you can use him as instrument in your hands.
Amen.
Oh Lord, wherever he goes, help his family, bless his family. Oh Lord, it's not easy to be in position to do something, oh Lord. Many times we are, oh Lord, just to criticize or say whatever, here and there something. Help us fill our mouth that we will support. Yes, we will say good things, oh Lord. Like Sister Hetty Wright, when she says she was invisible, but she says one time something what was noticed in your presence. Help us to do things right, oh Lord. Help us take away from our bad nature, oh Lord, and we are easy to take, oh Lord, side and say, oh Lord, whatever, Lord, like these unbelievers around, oh Lord, they are easy to take just to say something here and there. Help us to be light, oh Lord. We ask you, come down and burn all dross from us. Help us, oh Lord. Be with us that we can understand by your grace what your message is, oh Lord, for us. What your will is for us, oh Lord. We ask even for those people who have desire and whatever is in need in our lives, in our hearts, oh Lord, if you can come down and touch whatever it is, oh Lord, that we can come and glorify your name. We are so thankful this time, oh Lord, we just commit our ways into your hands, oh Lord. When we go from this place, oh Lord, that we can say like David says, Lord, you spoke once, but I heard twice. Amen. Help us that we keep that channel clear, oh Lord. Amen. And you can speak to us that we will not just close our Bibles when we leave this place. Help us to meditate. Be with us, oh Lord.
Amen.
We commit our ways into your hands. Even our children, O Lord, you speak to them, O Lord. O Lord, you undertake our children.
Amen.
That when their time comes, they will make decision to follow you, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, we commit our ways into your hands in the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On the youth, please meet upstairs for practice afterwards. For the youth, please meet upstairs for practice. Thank you.
That's what I long for. A heart that follows after thee. That's what I love for.
say.